I'm confident that two computers won't fuck up. I mean, what would a Windows computer do, you know?
Yeah.
AI would probably jump in and fuck it up now with Windows 11, but anyway.
Copilot's in there changing everything we say.
Yeah.
We're going to listen to the episode back and be like, Windows 11 is amazing.
While the world runs round with Christmas cheer, Player 2's riders cower in fear. For these brave souls, there's no joy in the season. And those feelings they have, well, they've got good reason. They've been beaten, broken, and scarred before, and still they're asked to dig in once more. You see, to them, Christmas means just one thing, a gift to review that only one man could bring. This creature goes by many, many names, and he takes pleasure in shitty games. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this new cast, as our crew members of Riders would rather be glassed, because they are stuck with the worst of the worst to play. Sadistic Santa is here to make sure he has ruined their day. Welcome, everyone, to the annual Sadistic Santa podcast on Player 2. My name is Matt Houston, and I have the honour of being Santa's little helper for this podcast, as is tradition. For those that you that don't know what Sadistic Santa is, we have a team of wonderful writers that have kindly volunteered to put their Santa wish lists into the, let's say, the biggest tight ass Santa on the planet. And because we're in a recession, he goes out and buys the cheapest knockoff he can find of whatever their wish may be. So, without any further ado, our guests and victims are here in this and no particular order. Jason, how are you, mate?
Oh, I'm living the dream.
You're living.
Santa's a prick.
Santa's a prick. Wonderful, wonderful. Stephen, I believe this is your first Sadistic Santa, or it's been a very long time, if not.
It's been a while. I've dodged that red bastard for a few years now.
Could dodge no longer. Jess is our resident masochist that jumps in every single year.
Every single time. And I can't tell you why. It's just like something compels me and I'm incapable of just saying nothing when asked who wants to be on. I don't even have to say no. I would just say nothing, but I can't do that. So
you can't do that.
Here we are.
Sean, you've been on a few in your time as well. Back again.
Yeah. I think this is number four. You know, it's been a couple of years and just enough time for me to forget how the last time made me question my life choices. So here we are again.
Here we are again. And our loudest member of the panel and one that will probably have to adjust the volume when she gets her turn. Jen, you've been on a couple.
Yep. And every year it gets worse and it gets worse and it gets worse and my soul dies.
Your soul.
A little bit more every time.
It's wonderful. Wonderful news. All right, let's kick into things. We'll start with Stephen, the man who's been longest absent from Sadistic Santa's graces. Stephen, what did you ask Santa for this year?
I asked Santa for a rhythm game.
A rhythm game?
And... yeah, I asked Santa for a nice little rhythm game to practice my rhythm game skills. You know, I was in the mood.
Yes. And what did Santa give you?
It wasn't a rhythm game.
It wasn't a rhythm game.
That's for sure. No. So Santa, in his infinite wisdom, clicked on the organized by lowest price button in Steam and went for a charming decade plus old title called Road Madness. There's nothing rhythmic about it apart from the words escape me. Santa, how could you cock it up so incredibly badly? And I saw the price tag, 75 cents. That stings. Wouldn't even break a dollar for me. So Road Madness, if you look at it, you're like, holy shit, this is an AI asset flip. But it came out in 2014, so probably not. It's made on personal Unity, and I tried running it on the ROG Ally. And Steam kindly informed me that Road Madness would automatically use its inbuilt settings to detect my controller. It did not. So I could start Road Madness. And Road Madness is kind of like a really shitty version of Subway Surfer. Like, what if I mixed Mad Max with the lowest price assets I could find in any online asset store and with Subway Surfer? So it's like three lanes and I have to drive a car, but I could not drive my car, my friends.
You could not.
My car would only go forward in the same lane because not only did it not detect my controller, there is no options menu to adjust any settings whatsoever. So I could not customize said controls. So I'm barreling down the texture pop-in road at least 40 miles an hour in the starting car that looks vaguely like a cross between a Toronto 88, AE86 and the DeLorean from Back to the Future. And I'm trying to shoot barrels out of the way, but apparently a gun overheats and then you cannot shoot barrels. So no matter what I do, I eventually succumb to the inevitable death that comes with driving over at least four sets of barrels in the hellscape that is Road Madness.
That is Road Madness. Oh, right, right. Did you by any chance try plugging in a controller?
I did not try plugging in a keyboard and mouse. I took that as a sign, a Christmas miracle, as it were, that perhaps I did not have to spend any more time in Road Madness. It's one of those, you know, it's one of those titles that it doesn't take very long to get what it's going for. It's not very subtle. There's no subtext. It's just text. It's all right there.
Look, I don't want Player 2 writers to be accused of not fully embracing the game they're reviewing. did you get to the end of the story? You know, we need to know what happens in Road Madness.
Well, there's no story aside from a bunch of sort of slideshow poorly created images with spelling and grammatical errors explaining to you that in the future, civilization has ended. Nuclear attack. The only way to keep people happy is to have them watch races. Uh-huh. And that's, yeah. So the government or someone, whoever's still in charge, has organized for the crowds of what is at least seven repetitive punk sprites on the side of the road, who are only there when you start, mind you. They there's no one along these deathly trails once you start.
They don't want to risk, you know, hurting the fans.
No, safety first. Safety, so yep. You can unlock more vehicles. All of them sort of resemble but legally distinct from, you know, brands that actually have the money to sue them if they want to. There's no voice acting. The soundtrack is like, what if, and again, I went to AI because I was like, this is almost like, what if I put into like ChatGPT, hey, give me some instrumental System of a Down cross Metallica, but make it sound like it could be on the original Doom soundtrack as well.
Right.
So it's got that going for it.
Yeah. Good. Some kind of funky sound.
Yeah, so it's not all terrible, but I'm sorry, I cannot wholeheartedly recommend Road Madness, even at the price of 75 Australian cents.
Wow. It's 90% off. That's a bargain at the price, honestly.
Imagine paying, you know, full price for this thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy. $2 nearly.
I will say I was very impressed with the ROG Ally being able to run it at its fantastic graphics setting that it provided.
That's wow. Excellent.
Literally the only option you could adjust the window size. Would you like it in windowed mode? It's not going to make it any better.
Maybe a bit smaller what? And then doesn't
the,
seem
the full
so
1920p action is happening as well in fantastic mode, and I tell you it looks like it came out in probably, you know, even before 2010. It says 2014, but, you know, I could see this thing playing on, you know, the earliest iPhones, perhaps even earlier than that.
Right.
Wow.
Shoddy mobile.
I mean, yeah, you could have cranked it out on a PS1, like,
easily. Are you saying maybe this game predated Subway Surfer and, in fact, was the inspiration.
I can only imagine that anything this inspired would be better than it.
Can't be worse. All right. As is tradition, we need a box quote or a trailer quote for this wonderful piece of entertainment.
Oh, my Lord. Road madness, more like Christmas sadness.
Nice.
Nice. Straight to the bad wordplay. Love it.
Like, if that was under my tree, Santa, I would have preferred coal.
At least coal's got a use, right?
And in this economy, yeah, it's probably worth more.
I'd say it sure is.
It'd be worth more than 90 cents anyway.
Yeah. All right, then. All right. We might move on to our next victim. Seeing as how he spoke up, Sean. Batter up, son. What did you ask Santa for this year?
I asked for, because, you know, Hollow Knight Silksong came out. So I'm like, yeah, give me that juicy Metroidvania.
Excellent. Excellent. So did you get a Metroidvania?
No. Not at all.
Not at all.
Despite being tagged a Metroidvania, this is a leveled platformer.
Oh.
Santa.
And the name of this leveled platformer
is,
wait for it, Dead by Death.
Oh, wow. No.
Like, what the fuck? So the about this game is, Dead by Death is a retro-style platformer. The hero will explore dungeons where are full of traps and find out hidden secrets to defeat monsters till you die or live for glory.
Oh.
Woo! Now, look, I mean, I read that and I was like, oh, okay. But, look, it could just be some dude, you know, English may not be his first language, so benefit of the doubt, we'll jump in there. Yeah, this shit's rough. Not that we could really expect any better. Like, you know, Stephen, you were talking about, you know, the little bits of story and the slides you got. At least you got that. I've got nothing. I've got some anime-looking dude with a metal arm who's running through a Castlevania knockoff killing zombies that have pistols and throw grenades and shit. Mind you, he's got this revolver, which is apparently a pistol, machine gun, a shotgun, and a rocket launcher all in one. Don't ask me how the fuck that's going to work.
It's easier than doing multiple sprites.
Yes. So why am I there? No idea. What's the end goal? No fucking idea. All I know is just die, you know, death or glory. They're the only two options. And I mean, like, you can... The dude who's kind of tried, it's got a crafting system in there, and it's, you know,
Wow. You
got plugins, which, you know, of course, no explanation for what these fucking plugins are or
how they're
supposed to work, but you can do them. You can use them. And then I did eventually find one. It's a plugin to the gun, which allowed me when I'd make a shot, hit a button, and it would split and send one up and down at the same time while still going forward. So I could hit enemies on another, on a different level than me, which is great because despite it being, you know, well, I mean, this came out in 2018, but you can't aim on a fucking angle.
So it's like an old school Contra.
Just stand there. You can stand on a platform slightly lower and the zombie will just shoot over your head while you're shooting him in the legs. Tactical genius right here. This guy. So, yeah, look, I mean, he labels it as 36 well-designed adventure dungeons. I only got to the third, but if the rest are anything like that, I don't really need to go any further. And, yeah, so, like, oh, and I just want a special shout-out to the gunfire and the movement.
Mm.
You know, special mentions because, you know, unlike the original Castlevania and Mario, in which you could have a smooth jump. Nah. We're going to add some extra challenge by making it really stilted and, you know, almost like it's happening on an alternate frame rate from when you actually hit the button. But look, probably the coolest part is that you got two styles of torches in these levels. You got your orange ones, which are obviously the light sources, you know, but then there's these purple ones. You can shoot the purple ones and they'll throw out stuff like you can shoot a purple torch and it might give you a ruby. It might give you some ammo. It might give you a fucking key to the next level. Why? Again, no fucking idea.
I feel like
it was only on the second level when I had a locked door and I'm like, what the fuck? Did I realize I literally have to go through and hit every one of these purple fucking lanterns just to get to the next level.
It's like they've gone, you know what was the most important part of Castlevania? Was the candle that you knocked to get health back. That's the most important part of that game, so we'll do that.
But using a bullet to snuff them out is... Yeah. It's a fine line between genius and madness, and I'm not quite sure where this guy lands. So, but yeah, the sound effects are... rather humorous as well, because you've got these little, they look like gas, and I'm like, oh, that's something that's going to hit me and, you know, hurt me and whatever. So I don't, you know, I try to avoid that. But then I couldn't find where the hell I was supposed to go. Mm. And I end up walking into it, and all of a sudden I skyrocket into the air, but you get that really comical boing that you hear in cartoons as you get launched up into the air. And I'm like, mwah. Yeah, that's nice. Just perfect.
Nice. All right then. Well, have you got a catch line for the box?
Oh fuck. Oh. You think after hearing, you know, Steve be put on with this, I would have thought of something.
You would have thought.
And look, to be honest, I may have, but the ADHD meds have worn off already today, so it's very hard to keep a straight thought sometimes. Glory or death, but mostly death.
Okay, we'll go with that.
Yeah, I don't know. That's pathetic.
It's kind of okay for the game, to be honest.
It's about as pathetic as the game is.
Yeah. All right, then. Well, it's time for everyone to just turn their volumes down just a little bit. Because it's going to get loud. Jen, how are you?
Every time I come on here, it's just a fucking barrage to my self-esteem. And I have such little of it.
Yeah, self-confidence is always what I thought you were lacking, Jen.
I am a wallflower. Anyway, let me talk about this crappy fucking game.
What did you ask Santa for?
I asked Santa for an open world action RPG.
Oh, right.
It's a big ask.
Bold. Yeah, that was a bold choice, Jen.
Yep. I have regrets. I have nothing but regrets. So I got given...
Did you get an open world RPG?
I got something. I got a game called Goblin Mutation. And it is an adventure game. If the adventure is the gradual degradation of your mental health and happiness, you load into the game and the first thing you see is like a poorly translated loading screen, but you know, it's 2025. We don't judge people who don't speak English very well. What we do judge is the fact that you load in and you are a caked up female who's wearing no clothes. Just hanging around in a cave, like arse and titties out for no reason. There's no cutscenes that tell you why you're half naked in a cave. And she looks so sad, probably because she has no fucking clothes on. But the other thing that's really creepy is that when you mouse the camera around, her eyes follow you. And it's like she's looking at you pleading for help. Clothes. So anyway, there's no cutscenes, there's no nothing. There's no text that tells you why you're ass out in a cold cave. But what there is jiggle physics out the wazoo. Like, you can't even breathe without, like, your ass looking like Homer Simpson on the fucking treadmill. You take a step and her tits move from, like, the left side of the screen to the right side of the screen and they, like, jiggle back inside of her. It's absolutely fucking mental. So anyway, I'm running around this cave and I find a sword. So now I'm a half-naked lady carrying a sword and nothing else. I have no armor. I have nothing. And then I find a person, and this person, I walk up to him.
And he went, and, oh, a naked lady. Woo.
And he there's no voice acting in this because, you know, of course there isn't. But his text line just says, I want to get out of here. I'm an old man without fertility. I will be killed. And I'm like, are we fucking? Is this
what we cave? What is going on here?
Did Huso buy me another game where I fuck people? Is that what this is? Anyway, you don't fuck the old man. You have to frig around with this goddamn vendor, and like buying anything in this game is a fucking hassle because the UI is awful. It's like everything about it is bad. But anyway, I got stuck. And I got stuck because remember how I said I was in a cave? Mm. It started raining inside the cave.
And
it goes so dark. Like you can't see a goddamn thing. I had my brightness all the way up and I can't see fucking anything except my ass jiggling for 5 minutes after I take a step. Anyway, found this door. Door is locked. I'm like, okay, go back to the vendor, buy a key, go through the door, and then I get the combat tutorial. Combat's, you know, press your like right mouse button to swing your sword. You press the right mouse button, and then like 3 seconds later, she swings her sword, and another 3 seconds after that, like the sound plays for the sword. So that's awesome. Anyway, killed the first bad guy, then went and I encountered 3 bad guys at once. And I was like, cool, that's fine. Like, first guy was easy to kill. No worries, right? No, because if you want to do more than like 2 attacks in a row, the character's like, no, I'm not doing that. And like the attack commands don't input. So you stand there and you just get fucking beaten to death and then you die.
Oh, no.
And that's it. That's the game. And after that, I was like, I'm fucking done. Go, please.
What are the jiggle physics like while you're getting beaten down?
Honestly, not as bad as I thought it was. And when I died, I fully thought she was going to die on her back, leg spread, yeah. Like, you know. Not the case. So I was, you know, still at every turn, I was disappointed.
Like, well, I'm in for a penny, in for a pound. Come on, let's.
Yeah. No,
let's make this happen.
The only thing that got fucked in this game was my happiness.
This is Harem Ranch all over again, honestly.
Yeah. So thanks, Santa. You fucking suck.
All right. Although, you know, there's someone out there listening to that review who's like, like, this sounds like my jam.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure, like, it's got 13 reviews on Steam, right? And they're all bad. They're all bad. And I'm like, so there's at least 13 other people who suffered through this with me. And Santa still went and looked at that and was like, that's the one. That's for her. Merry Christmas, you dick.
Well, what's your box quote, Jen? I think it'll be a good one.
So the developer's name is Richard, and he spells it all in lowercase.
Yeah.
And Richard, you may be Richard in lowercase, but you are a capital dick.
Incredible.
Wonderful.
Perfect.
Excellent. All right, we've got 2 left. Who's it going to be? I think I personally want to wait till last for Jess's because it was the most interesting on Santa's list, I feel. So, Jason.
Yeah.
What did you ask Santa for?
Ask Santa for Demon School. Meant to be a great game. Yeah. On my wish list for ages. I thought, you know, why not?
Right.
Santa.
A school-related game. And yeah. You asked Santa for that.
Rookie mistake. Asking Santa for a thing you actually want.
Listen, I'm an optimist.
All right. So what did Santa get you instead of Demon School?
Santa decided it would be a smart idea to give me a little game called My Life as an Alchemist. And I thought, even getting this, I love the Atelier game. So I'm like, I am, you know what? This is going to be great. I love alchemy in games.
So how did your quest to turn lead into gold go?
So this game is extremely confusing. Allow me to preface this by saying, like, I watch a lot of horror movies, yeah, and this is important, but the worst type of horror movie, like, you have bad horror, and that's awesome. You have great horror, that's awesome. Anything in the middle, like, right in the middle...
is boring.
Sucks ass.
Yeah.
This is not a bad game. I wish it was a bad game. I wish it let me have that much emotion while playing it. But it was a slog. So this is, despite everything, they decided to make this a Vampire Survivors-like. Oh, there are no enemies in the game.
Okay.
Which is a choice. So instead you have a sword swinging around you, and you run up to, like, trees and rocks, and you collect things that way. Ooh. In a time limit. You've got pretty strict time limit. And you choose at the start of the run what potions you want to make, and it'll tell you what ingredients you need to make them. You fill up your thing, and then at the end, if it wasn't hard enough to find the ingredients in, like, the 1 minute that it gives you to try and find them all, you've got to play Peggle to throw your ingredients into...
Oh, hell yeah.
Not Peggle.
Oh, Peggle's fantastic.
Yeah, I love Peggle.
Hey, this guy's getting Peggle over here.
Look, that would have been amazing. So you have the chance of, like, going around and trying to find the ingredients, and then you've got the extra chance on top of that of trying to get your ingredients into the right vats. If you don't get enough ingredients to make a potion, or if you fail to make the potion at the end, your run ends. Now, one of the most important things about roguelikes, vampire survivor-likes, all that sort of thing is, you have something that's like a meta progression.
Yeah.
We don't do that here. Also, for whatever goddamn reason, they decided to make the potions, A, more complex, but also B, harder to do the Peggle section, because you start getting a bunch of, like, wind blowing across the screen, and for whatever fucking reason, forklifts just traveling across the screen.
I often place alchemy and forklifts in the same area, you know.
Look, it's on me for not knowing enough about the genre, clearly. Yeah, and, like, I play a lot of bad games because I actually really enjoy them, and I think it's, like, good to see what bad games are, like, to, like, wallow in the slop so that when you get a good game, you could really appreciate it, like, to reset yourself.
Fucking hell.
That sounds just like pure masochism.
Wallow in the slop fucking kills me.
There are some terrible games out there.
You might have a point. I'm sitting there jaded with the latest AAA releases, like, what is this?
This doesn't do anything for me anymore.
You can be playing Peggle.
I just want to feel again.
Yeah.
Well, even if it's pain.
Might I recommend My Life as an Alchemist? You know, reset yourself internally. Because, yeah, this. I played this for 6 hours.
Wow.
That's
commitment.
13 minutes.
Well, mine didn't have any, like, it doesn't have any game-breaking bugs or anything. Admittedly, the developer did upload a build where he accidentally forgot to include the right stick on a controller, so he had to re-upload a build where it included...
He built it on the Nintendo 64 controller.
Like, I was playing this on controller. You can't pause on controller, but you can on keyboard for whatever fucking reason. This game's just a fucking wild ride. I unlocked in some extra characters. I thought, you know, maybe this will get easier, like, you know, all the characters. Barely makes a fucking difference. All the potions barely make a fucking difference. This game's a...
It's like a Telltale game telling you that they're going to remember what you did, but they don't.
God damn it, Clementine. This game's... it's not bad enough to be bad, and it's not good enough to be good, and it just left me really feeling indifferent inside.
Oh, indifferent Aww. Inside. Well, give us a good box quote with your indifference highlighted.
No enemies means the only thing you'll be fighting is the ability to fall asleep.
Excellent. Excellent work. That's classic. I think that's the best one we've had so far.
Where do you stand in terms of time played compared to everyone else on the page there? 6 hours. Surely that's some kind of record.
So I checked just for laughs. I thought I'm going to hunt down the developer's account. The developer has 9 hours in his own fucking game. Well. So, am I the number two? My life as an Alchemist player in the world?
Probably.
Maybe. Unfortunately.
Oh, no. There's someone with 25 hours on record.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. Right. I've got to
take any records.
There's a life goal for you.
Yeah, this game's it's a time. It also has, almost negative reviews. There is one positive, but yeah, only like 12 people reviewed it. So it's a game.
It's a game.
I'll never take that away from it.
Wonderful. All right, then. And we come to our last person, Jess, our ever suffering Jess, who every year feels the wrath of Santa. What did you ask for, Jess?
Look. Every year I walk straight into the trap because every year I enter with hope and optimism and I'm like, this is the year that it's going to be different. And even if I ask Santa for something and he gives me something completely different, it can't be that bad. But, you know, it just is the problem. And I need to stop believing there's good in the world because this is how we end up here. So... this year, I asked Santa for a game that I haven't had a chance to play yet that I'm very excited to play, a sequel to a game I enjoyed very much, and I asked Santa for Hades 2.
Great game.
Fantastic game.
Yeah, look, I've heard really good things. It's supposed to be great.
What did you get?
That's not... Yeah. So what Santa got for me was a game called The Battle of Sacred Heart. The Battle of Sacred Heart is, let's just read the description on Steam for you. It's a refreshing action RPG. Sacred Heart nuns challenge the elite of the four armies of Middle Earth. What the player must face is a protracted battle to the death.
Why do I feel like it's going to be a Scrubs tie-in game?
Why do I feel like this doesn't have any licensing from the estate of J.R.R. Tolkien in the slightest?
And or the Catholic Church, I believe.
No Catholic Church, no Scrubs, no J.R.R. Tolkien. There was something called Demon Plankton, which I don't remember ever seeing in J.R.R. Tolkien's work, but I guess I'm not, you know, overly familiar with the nuances.
SpongeBob crossover? Yeah. You probably missed that one. It was in one of the appendices, one of the later ones, you know, it just gets really weird in there.
Really strange. But what the Battle of Sacred Heart is, like, first of all, I opened the game to try to play it, and it was in question mark language. I took my best guess and figured out that it was simplified Chinese and used Google Translate on my phone using the camera to recognize the text to navigate the menu so that I could put the game into English so that I could then do anything in the game. I then saw that the game supported controller. So I was like, great, I'll plug in my controller. This is going to be way more fun with that. There's a tiny little bit of text at the bottom that says, it supports Xbox controller, but not in the menus. So in the menu, it moves the mouse cursor with like the right stick on the controller.
Uh-huh.
And then to select things, it's like right trigger sometimes. So eventually, I made my way into the menu. The menu, gives you some options. It doesn't, tell you what any of them mean. You have like game start, title tournament, and then it gives you a list of like ranked players. So immediately I was like, okay, I'm going to have to be the best at the Battle of Sacred Heart. we'll come back to what my ranking ended up being in a minute. But, so if you go to game start, you're then, presented with like a character RPG kind of skill assignment screen, which didn't work for, quite some time. For me, I was trying to select the four skills and the mouse was just like flashing, just constantly flashing and not letting me click anything. Eventually, after about 5 solid minutes of trying to click on things, I figured out that if I hovered over them and then pressed enter, it would let me select them so I could select the four skills. I was then, and I mean, they're like classic RPG style skills like fireball and, you know, freeze and freezing God's power, which like enhances your attack, and then like a healing skill.
I love that you have suffered so much and you haven't, like, you're talking about menus still.
Yeah, yeah. Because it took me so long to get through the menu that I want to recreate that experience for everybody here. You're then given the option to select a partner. There are four partner options. So there's Chief Swordman, which is a woman, and she has a giant sword. Her name is Sei Sin Kai Chief Swordman Cassandra, Chief Swordman of the Order of the Sacred Heart, a protective organization established by the Society of the Sacred Heart to defend against foreign enemies. Cassandra is the soul of the organization. Cassandra was my chosen partner for most of this.
Yep.
She fought alongside me. She did a great job of taking down some enemies. Other options, Heavy Cavalry. Former Imperial Heavy Cavalry Commander Raphael was accused of rebellion and exiled, finally escaped from the penal colony and planned to avenge himself. There's also Preacher, a mysterious evangelist, unknown church, finding the source of the monsters in the chaotic world. And then Guardian, who is a woman who I have to imagine looked much like Jen's protagonist, has almost no clothes on. Her name's Marsha. After the fall of the Empire, Marsha, who used to be a guard at the court, struggled to escape from the pursuit of the four armies. I have to presume because she was carrying so much weight in metal that covered none of her body. And that's why she struggled. Anyway. I got into the game. Your character is a nun. She doesn't, I guess she has a name. There's a splash screen that sort of tells you about her, but she doesn't get as much of a backstory as everybody else. She is, as I found out from the store page, an AI generated image, and she looks like one, upsettingly. But yeah, from there, it's essentially just like an action RPG. Waves of enemies come at you. Some of them are demon plankton. Some of them are random soldiers. Some of them are like cave dwellers, which again, throwback to Jen's game. How exciting.
It's a sequel.
And cool. And you just attack the waves of enemies. For the most part, it sort of functions in allowing you to do that. So you can use your special abilities like fireball or like freeze. You can hit them with your sword in like light or heavy attacks. At the end of each wave, a statue appears that is supposed to like be fueled by the sins that you're generating by killing people. And then somehow if you sin enough, then the angel comes and like grants you something. But what that seems to mean in practice is you stand in front of the statue, you hold down a button, it disappears and a chest spawns. You then hold down the button again and then a sword appears from the chest and floats in the air and you can't interact with it. And it just sits there and does nothing.
It's a metaphor.
It's a metaphor. Yeah, look, I don't really know what else to tell you. The nun sure did fight those monsters. There doesn't feel like any real progression in the game, much again, like Jason was saying about his, in that usually you'd think there's supposed to be some kind of metagame. Like, that's the draw of Hades, is that it's got a really good metagame. I'm yet to figure out what's supposed to carry on from one run to the next, except for, I guess, my overall score. Which, you know, if you're striving for first place, maybe that's all that matters to you.
So, speaking of scores...
Yeah.
You promised us.
So, I did. And, look, it's not as impressive as Jason's six-hour time that he put in. I would say I put about an hour into it. I'm currently ranked 34th in the highest scores of, like, all time. And for my overall score, 17th.
Wow.
I guess I'm great at the Battle of Sacred Heart. Yeah.
Jess, look, have you ever been 17th in the world in a video game before?
I haven't. Oh, really? You're right.
Yep.
Not in a game that I didn't develop. Yeah. Not in someone else's game. So, you know, I guess that's a thrill and an achievement that I now have to my name, which this game has given to me.
It'll be forever in your Steam list too, to remind you.
Forever. And it didn't even have any jiggle physics. No. She's a nun, and she's obviously got massive boobs and, like, her legs out, because she's got, like, a habit that only covers to just below her ass. zero jiggle. She does die dramatically with her legs kind of in the air, though. So.
No, yeah.
You could fuse the two of them together somehow.
Yeah. If only.
Perfect game.
Okay.
All right, then. Well, I guess it's time for the box quote.
Yeah. The best I can give you is, this nun sure is angry, and so am I.
Nice. Excellent work. Well.
Thank you.
That sadly brings us to an end of another episode of Sadistic Santa, and to the end of another year of Player 2, and our podcast. It has been a wonderful year again. We thank everyone that's listened to us as we've gone through. And also, it's worth noting that, you know, we're recording this after a very, very nasty event in Australia. I'm sure you all know what it is. And our thoughts go out to everyone that's suffering because of it. And really, this holiday, just find someone to hug, find family, find friends, and be with people you care about. And that's all we can offer in the way of greetings. It's because it's, you know, it's puts a dampener over the Christmas season. But yeah, find someone you want to spend some time with, and look after yourself. And that's all we can ask for. But thank you for joining us. Make sure you head over to Player 2, check out everything we've done. We've got our Game of the Year stuff up, and, you know, we'll see you all in the new year, and hopefully things will be a bit happier. But thank you for joining us, and yeah, we'll catch you next time. See ya.
We did it.
Yay. Yeah.
Time to go become first in the world at the Battle of Sacred Heart.
I reckon you put another hour in and you got it.
I reckon, yeah. I think so. It's not until I went back to the Steam page to look.